Thanks for joining us for a new special Instruments of Joy interview. Today we are joined by Louisa from Poland. And Louisa, thank you so much for agreeing to share with us some of your wonderful stories of how you have used music to serve others around the world. And I want to start off just by asking you specifically, how is it that you use music to serve others, and where have you served around the world so far?
Well, that's a long story. I'm Polish, but I left my country 15 years ago. Now I'm living in Belgium, but I used to live in Germany and Luxembourg over these years. And I also love to travel. And I had this opportunity, this blessing to travel for 14 months in Asia and South America. And out of those countries, I would say I was serving in Poland, in Brussels, and shortly in Peru. There was mostly singing music in choirs, playing viola, teaching guitar, organizing music workshops. And out of those activities, some others appeared, like a week in Latvia, in Aloja. You were there with your band Paradigm Worship, and I was there with the band based in Brussels, The Sunshine Remedy. I say based in Brussels because this is where we met, but each one of us is from the different corner of the world. I play viola there in this band, but I feel more like I'm God's freelancer, I would say. Whenever there is a project where I know I can serve with the music, I will just do it. I will never say no.
I love that. I think that God is looking for people who are willing to go and who are willing to say yes to what he asks. So right now, what is it that you're doing there, and how does music play a part in what you're doing?
I still play viola in different projects, but I also sing in a choir. About that, I have a story which I want to share. It's the choir in my diocese in the area where I live. I heard this choir every Sunday morning during the Mass, and I thought to join it simply to serve with my voice. But the choir did not sound very good, so I was hesitating. I was even thinking, oh my God, I just cannot listen to it. On one hand, I felt like, okay, it's my church, I should go there and be there and serve there. But on the other hand, I felt like the inner musician, the inner perfectionist in me was just saying, no, you will not stand it, it's just too much. So I was having this conversation inside of me, which made me hesitate to go to the rehearsal. Till one Sunday Mass, when a lady, which I was in the church, and there was a lady next to me who was singing as well, and she suddenly turned, took my arm, and just said to me, but you know, you have to go to them, you have to sing with them, don't you? And then she just left my arm, and she continued to sing as if nothing happened. And I really had that goose skin, because I felt like, okay, if I really hear these words in the church, maybe it's a message from God, who got really annoyed with my stubborn heart and just gave me the straightforward message. So I went to the rehearsal thinking I'll just try once. I even was convinced it will be the last time I do it. So the first and the last time. I have seen that they are nice community, but musically it was very demanding, so I promised myself not to take any comments, but did not hold even 15 minutes because they were singing something wrong. So I said, you know, maybe you should sing it that way, because that's how parts are. I was a bit afraid that with my comments I would destroy this peaceful community, you know, and they are mostly elderly people as well, so I didn't want it to be impolite. But something completely opposite happened. Instead of being confused, they just said, oh my God, we were praying so much for someone like you to come and to help us. For so many months, we were praying all together for that. And here you are. And that's so amazing. Do you want to conduct this choir? And I was just like, what? So more or less, it's how I started with this choir, and it really develops beautifully. You know, it felt like at the beginning, I felt like they need me, but it's more like I understood that I needed them, that I needed to learn that serving God is not about perfection. It's about a communion with others and singing to God's glory together. And well, if you want to listen to the perfect music, you just go to the concert, you can listen to the CD. There are professional musicians for that, but this community really taught me that the focus is somewhere else. Of course, we rehearse, we have workshops and work on the sound quality with small steps, but I think this choir also rescued me in a sense to be more compassionate, to be more bonded with people, to put the focus somewhere else, not on the music itself, not on perfection, but on praising God. And I see also how making music brings this community together.
And why also do you think that music is such a powerful tool to impact others?
I think it's a part of heaven. I really think, like in the, I hope so. I really wait for that once we are staying face to face with God, it will be just endless music and worshiping. And so like when we sing, it's just part of the heaven we have. And I really believe that with the music, you can touch people's heart. You can make some fun. You can build bridges between people. It's like a language which is international. You don't even need to speak the same language as the people we are connecting with through music, and you can still connect. You can heal through the tones, through the words you are singing. You can bring messages. I think because you have lyrics, but you have with music, so it's like double powerful. It stays in your mind. That's why it's powerful.
And do you have any specific stories or experiences that you can share where you have seen music accomplish that?
Well, I have a few stories to share from my traveling time. And one of my favorite is the story of Blue Guitar. So I went on my trip and I started in Thailand, in Bangkok. I brought with me ukulele because I really wanted to learn how to play it. And I thought, okay, during my traveling, I will have time to do so. But when I was leaving 2 days later to Chiang Mai, I realized in the bus that actually I left my ukulele in the hotel. So I was thinking like, oh no. And I called the hotel and asked them to keep it for me. It was still there. Because I was about to being back in 6 weeks. But when traveling in the northern Thailand, I was really, really missing music. So I felt a bit lonely. It was just the beginning of my trip. And I was walking the streets of Chiang Mai in the northern Thailand when I saw some music shop. It was funny because afterwards, I've never seen the music shop again in Thailand. But that day, it just literally crossed my path. So I entered and I've seen that guitar that was of blue color, like really, really pretty. And I liked it so much because of the color. So I thought, oh, maybe I can buy it, but it was quite expensive. So I just asked the guy, would you mind if I would play a bit in the corner? And he said, no problem, you can do that. So I sit down in the corner and I started to play a song. That's another story. That's a very special song which I got from a friend. Actually, it's the friend from the band The Sunshine Remedy. He used to play there. His name is James Brown, and he had this song which really stuck in my head because of the music. And I asked him if I can have this song for my traveling, and he said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And he gave me the lyrics. So I was sitting in this shop and I took this paper with the lyrics, and I was actually first time like living them through singing. And I realized that this song is really for me, like the lyrics are touching me so much. And the song, the title of the song was Looking for Easy Answers. And the song says that we are looking for easy answers and we are looking in wrong places, in our minds, in our past, in our experiences or experiences of other people, but there are no easy answers. And that we are also searching in wrong places, because the only answers are coming through God, from God. So I was sitting in that shop and playing that over and over till the lyrics got into my mind. But I also realized that people are just gathering and they are curious, and they were also pleased to hear it. So finally, actually, the guy, he sold me this guitar for, I don't remember exactly, $20-something. And he even added a belt for it. So that was really nice. And I had new traveling companion, this blue guitar. So I was traveling with this guitar all over Southeast Asia. And the instrument was really an excellent icebreaker. I mean, if you let me out now in the world, I can talk to anyone. But at the beginning of my travels, I was really not so self-sure and a bit shy. So for me, this guitar was a blessing because it was like an icebreaker. People just wanted to touch it. People wanted to play it. And that was exactly that. I could speak their language. I could not speak their language, but we could laugh together and play some music together, or they could listen. I remember that traveling with this guitar in Vietnam, I went to the village of Hmong, that are native people of the border between Vietnam and China. I met some indigenous girl on the market, and then she took me to her village. And there were no other tourists or backpackers, only me. So the news spread out that there is some visitor, and the villagers were passing by because they were just curious who I was. And I could not communicate with them in their language, so I just gave them the guitar. They tried to play it, and we laughed a lot. It was, for me, the example how you can connect through music and through instruments. One other story I wanted to share is linked to the place which is very special for me. It's called Casa Hogar Juan Pablo Magno in Peru, in Lurin, near Lima. It's a place where I volunteered, and it's a place for the orphans, true ones or the social ones. So there's a lot of kids there, and they had really hard stories behind them, really, really tough. So I was volunteering there and giving some music lessons, also singing. And I met their very charismatic missionary priest, Father Joe, who plays excellent guitar, and we were singing a lot together. But he's really inspiring person. So he was also teaching these kids songs and playing guitar. And I think that music just, I could observe that music just lifted them up and were helping to forget about what they were through, even only for a moment. But it was so beautiful to see the joy and the passion for music in those kids. And you could see how they shine when they play or try to play, how they got involved, like there were some new meaning to them.
And in your travels, have you seen the role or importance of music change from culture to culture? And what has that taught you about music?
I think from one hand, I feel like, okay, we more or less all over the world is the same. Like, music is bringing people together, is socializing, is icebreaker, is healing. But from other hand, you can, of course, in Asia, it's spirituality, you know, like spiritual mantras. I think that's mostly where you use music, or I had the impression. Mongolia, that's really special country, because music there is just example of unity with nature. The way they sing, the way they play, it's like when they play their instrument, it's like a little cello, and then it with the rhythm, like as if that horses were galloping. They can also do the throat singing, like singing very low notes, and then over it sing the whistling the melody. So one person can sing like two voices. That's amazing. Wow, that's very special for Mongolia. And when you listen to the songs, you just see nature. You see mountains, you see horses, you see You listen to the wind. And then South America is more, you know, like emotions and passion and dancing. They dance along the sink everywhere, like in the bus. Always is a music. If there is no music, someone will sing and nobody is bothered about it because it's just normal. If you would sing in Europe in the bus, people would just look at you like, huh, what he's doing. What I love is the variety of different means and of different music. And someone once said that everything already was written and we just repeat the same tones and everything. But I don't believe in that. I think it's really, we can so much take from each other and combine the elements. And I think through using different means, you can reach different people. You can have a dance music and still give some messages, which are good messages. And you can have, for those who prefer jazz, you can put it into jazz. You're using different means, different music to pass through the messages you want to. I'm thinking now about worshiping. I think like worshiping, we are a bit accustomed to Hillsong does, and they are great, absolutely. But, you know, like, I think there is so much more to explore, to go outside and to bring different form of worshiping.
Can you share how music has impacted you and your life?
I think, like, music was my connection to God, really, like my turning point. Like, I had twice in my life that the points, like, I was a bit far away from God. And then he turned me back, like pulled me toward to him because he used the music, you know. One story was, it was year 2000 and I was kind of a rebel student a bit. I was a bit far away from church. I was going on Sundays, but not really, you know, just like on the surface. I had friends that were doing the worshiping tour and one alto just got sick. And they asked me, hey, do you want to jump on this place? Do you want to sing with us? And I said, like, yeah, sure. And but I did it because, you know, I liked music. I wanted to sing. I didn't really thought like, oh, worshiping or not, doesn't matter. That was new adventure, singing in the band, having concerts. And I went for this worshiping tour. And then I don't know, remember on the second or third day I really realized what I'm singing, like the words really went into my heart, so touched me, and I was just, you know, like on my knees, and I started to cry, and then I realized what I'm singing and for whom I'm singing. And then I went to the choir in the church, and I really, like, you know, I started my service in the church through the music. Because of that experience, I feel like if God touched me through the music to pull him toward him, he probably does it with others as well. So when I play, when I'm his instrument, I think he can pull others as well. Well, I just cannot imagine my life without music. I'm speaking a lot about worshiping, but I like to dance, you know, everything what's linked to the music. I do salsa, I do tango, I do Lindy Hop now. It's a lot of fun. It just brings joy. If I want to get my mood lifted up, I just do music. I sing, or I listen to, or I do it actively. So I play or I dance, and I cannot even say how many great friends I met through music or through these activities. Well, the example, we would never meet if I wouldn't play. Probably we would never meet in Latvia, and I'm grateful really we did.
I know, me too. I feel the same way about that. I have seen music as a unifying tool, bringing people together from different cultures and nations for a common purpose or goal. And it's really beautiful how it's a quick way to make new friends, even when you have other things in your life that are very different. So our last question, I just want to know why it is that you think it's important to play music, to play an instrument, to give instruments away, or to write songs.
I had this good example, the excellent example in Peru, when I really seen, like, in the poverty, in the, you know, like in everyday, where you have stories, where you have pain to deal with, how it can, you know, like, bring you to the different level, like opening you to doors to the different world. Like, with the listening to music or playing it, like you can get, you know, like healing of the soul. I really believe into that. And I'm really grateful you put this all these questions, because it really makes me so joyful now to summarize it in my head, to understand how important music is for me. Because, you know, I think some gifts of God we just take for granted, that, you know, they are there. So we are just not thinking like, oh, we can walk, we can see, we can sing, and that's so obvious. We do it. We want more different things that we don't have. But these gifts are just amazing. And
that's exactly right. And that's why we think it is so important for people to hear stories like yours of how music is tangibly impacting others and the power that music can have. And that's why we at Instruments of Joy think that it is so important to give instruments away and to equip people with music. So thank you so much for joining us, Louisa, and sharing your stories and experiences. I know that many listening will be inspired by what you have said. For those who are tuning in, if you are inspired to act and to respond in some way, whether it's hosting a concert, donating an instrument, or donating money so that we can purchase instruments to send around the world, please visit us at our website, instrumentsofjoy.org, and continue to follow us on social media.